Are you glad to be here today? Hallelujah. It's Memorial Day weekend, so I'd endeavored not to go too long today and exhort us in just a little bit. But I do want us to go to Matthew chapter 13, because I think we got some good kingdom stuff to do today. How many of you know we need to be about our Father's business? And our Father, as we learned last week, is a businessman. Glory to God. He's a merchant, and He expects a profit. Hallelujah, out of His workers. And yes, we are His children, but we are His workers as well. And that's what we've been learning a lot about. We've been studying these various parables on the kingdom of God, where Jesus would illustrate to us what the kingdom was like and how it was, how did it operate, how does it work, and so forth. And so we've covered a lot of awesome things. I believe by now we've covered 8 of the parables that Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8 on His Sermon by the Sea. Hallelujah. We're more familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, aren't we? That's the one over there in Matthew 5 through 7. But there was also a Sermon by the Sea where Jesus was cast out by the boat, and He began to preach to all the people, and He taught them all these wonderful kingdom parables. And we've been studying these things, and we learned some awesome things. Most recently, we learned about the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. And what did we learn? What's the treasure? What's the pearl? It's you. Jesus Christ was that merchant. He was that man that laid His life down so that He could purchase you. Because why? He saw the potential. He saw the value. He saw what God had made you to be. And so He said, I'm going to lay my life down for Him, and I'm going to pay so great a price so that I can apprehend them. And we found out something, though. God is the God of the Jewish people. Amen. You know that, right? And how many of you know the Jewish people know how to get some good deals? There's some good businessmen in that crowd, right? Well, hallelujah. How many of you know that's the way God is? So if God paid so great a price to purchase you, what should that speak to you? You must have at least equal value to the price He paid. And we're talking about the price He paid was the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood on the cross. And so while in no way I'm meaning to demean the value of what Jesus laid down and not give Him honor, we should always continue to do so. But I believe at the same time we should understand why so great a price was paid. It was because God saw the value in you. And I'll tell you, when you come to know that in your own personal life, it'll change the way you live. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God has proven that to me so many times. When I have not been the brightest bulb, the sharpest knife in the drawer, when I have not been all that in a bag of chips, and I have called out to the Lord and asked Him to do things in my life, He's still honored me, He's still blessed me, He's still done different things. And that grace that He extends towards me in my not-so-proud moments drives me to His feet, drives me to lay my life down more for Him, because all that grace and that goodness is what leads man to repentance. Can I get an amen? So all of these different things we've learned are all things which will propel us into loving God more and how to receive from God more. But now we come to the last parable, the final parable in Jesus' Sermon by the Sea, and it's called the Parable of the Dragnet. And when I mention dragnet, I don't want you to go there, and some of you older crowd might be starting to think about that show back from the 50s and the 60s. That's not the dragnet He's referring to. Just the facts, ma'am. Hallelujah. Yeah, you young people didn't get that one right there. But this is the final parable that He taught on this day, and appropriately so when you see what its content is. Let's begin in verse 47. Again, Jesus begins with again. And what did we learn when we see the word again? It's Jesus is continuing to reiterate how the kingdom works, because this is something you need to hear again and again and again. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore. And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, when we read those last statements there, that should be a very sobering thing to us. How many of you know that's not the first time Jesus said that in the Gospels? He was constantly warning people of the repercussions of not choosing Jesus, not choosing the Lord, and living our life in unrighteousness, and what that will happen, what will occur in our lives. And he continues to refer to it as being weeping and gnashing of teeth. And while I don't want to be focusing on the negative, that is something that we need to give a little bit more credence to, I believe, than we have in a lot of our seeker-sensitive society today. Most churches wouldn't even talk about judgment or hell or anything like that, but this is a reality. I remember one time after I got saved and my light bulb was turned on, and of course I had friends that I was associated with before that. And what's going to happen? When Jesus touches your life, you want other people to receive that same goodness, right? And I would go to these friends that I had and would tell them about Jesus. I was a great evangelist during that time. And I went to them, and I had one girl that I was just trying to get her to come to church and become a Christian. And she looked at me and she goes, Trey, why do you just keep preaching to me? Why do you keep trying to do this? And, you know, and I didn't want to come across like I was being condemning or anything like that. But then the Holy Ghost gave me a really good thing to tell her. I said, her name was Sheila, and I said, Sheila, let me ask you a question. If you had a flight arranged for that evening, and you were going on it, and I somehow knew that plane was going to crash, and you were going to perish, wouldn't you want me to tell you? And she looked at me and goes, yes. I said, that's exactly what's happening. Is that we make certain decisions, we need to know there is a way, a broad way that leads to destruction, there is a narrow way that leads to life. And our friends, our family need to know it. And the world's trying to tell us that we shouldn't be telling anybody that because it might condemn them and you might seem holier than thou. And the world's trying to tell us it's not okay to do that. But I'm here to tell you today, people need to know the truth. They need to know the gospel. They need to know that they need to be saved. And they need to know what they need to be saved from. All of these things are very important, and I believe that's what Jesus is again warning us of here. So let's look at the beginning of this parable and see the point of it. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. Now, before we talk about what the dragnet is, which is the point of this parable, let's talk about the purpose of the dragnet in this parable. It was to be cast into the sea and to gather some of every kind. Now, I don't have time to go to a lot of scriptures to verify this, so you're just going to have to trust me on this. But there are a lot of scriptures in the Bible that oftentimes use the sea, the ocean, the waters of this world as being a type and an illustration of mankind, of people. You understand that? So there's a lot of different times, specifically through the prophets, that the sea is a reference to the multitudes of people in this world. And I believe that's exactly what Jesus is referring to here. So the purpose of this dragnet was to be cast into the waters of mankind. And to do what? And gather some of every kind. Now, you know, you got to understand something. Back in their day, the primary way, my understanding is, the primary way that they did fishing back then was by these nets. They didn't have poles with lines and lures and fishing with worms kind of thing. That wasn't necessarily part of their generation. So it was usually done with a net. And you know, with a net, you're not necessarily going to be selective of what you catch. You're going to get some of every kind. And how many of you are thankful that's exactly how the fisher of men himself chose to gather you? You know, if I were to go to Lake Oconee this afternoon for Memorial Day weekend and choose to go fishing, I could go buy a certain kind of lures or certain kind of bait. And guess what? I'm only going to catch certain kind of fish if I do that. But if I throw a net out into the water, I can get any and all the fish that are in there. And you know why? Because the Lord in this parable wants to show you and I that it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, he wants to gather you together with himself. You know, in the waters of this world, you got blackfish, you got whitefish, you got bluefish, you got some greenfish, you got some purplefish, you got some various colors of fish in this world. But I'm here to tell you today, it don't matter what kind of fish you are, what color your scales are, we're all in the same boat, no pun intended. In this case, we're not in the same boat, we're in the same net. Hallelujah. You know, this is something that is really important to get, because I have a heart as a church body here that we are not considered a white church, that we're not considered a black church. You know, there's churches out there that's the way that people refer to them. I want to look like heaven in here. Well, we got some of every different kind. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what your economic background is. It doesn't matter how much money you got. We want them all, because the Lord wants them all too. Can I get an amen? So it was cast into the sea of mankind and gathered some of every kind. Now let's look at the next verse. Which when it was full, they drew to the shore and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. Now I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit here, but I'm telling you over and over and over, the Lord keeps showing this. Notice here that the good that would be thrown into the vessels is called good. Do you know, how many of you in here are born again believers? You know if you breathe your last breath today, you're going to spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. If that's you, then you're going to be thrown into that vessel and the Lord sees you as good. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it's like when God created things in the beginning. Do you remember in Genesis? Every day, the Lord would look over the things He would create, and He'd say, and He saw that it was good, right? You'd see that over and over and over. And then at the very end, after the sixth day, before He would rest, He looked at everything and saw the work was complete, and He said, it is very good. Amen. Now, how many of you know the Bible teaches us that we're new creations in Christ Jesus? Amen. And I believe the Lord has shown me before that the new creations we've been made in Christ Jesus has been typified by the original creation in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Hallelujah. So when the Lord looks at you, the new creation that's been made through His blood, He looks at you and says, Vivian, you are very good. Because why? The Lord made you. And as I like to put it, the Lord don't make no junk. I know that's not good English, but I'm probably liable to give you some more bad English today. When the Lord looks at you, He made you the way you are. And you've got to realize that and understand that you are that beautiful pearl. You are that hidden treasure. He looks at you and said, I made you just the way you are. And I love you. I mean, particularly what He made you in Christ Jesus. But how many people, man, they look at themselves in the mirror and they let this world form their value of themselves, and the world will tell you because you're not a certain weight, because you don't have a certain amount of money, because your kids don't go to a certain school, because you don't drive a certain car, that you're less of a person. That's not true. The Lord looks at you and He says, man, I've elected you. Did you know that? God actually cast His vote for you. And I'm going to tell you something. All the electoral votes and votes of the population of this world cannot come even close to the value of God's vote that was cast for you. And if you're sitting in these pews today and you are that born-again believer, it's because the Lord called you. It's because He gathered you. And when He looks at you, He says, you good, baby. Oh, hallelujah. But it's a dragnet that drew you to the Lord. So we're going to talk a little bit about evangelism today. There's a lot of good things that I believe will help us to be better witnesses so that we can be vessels used by the Lord to help more people get captured by this dragnet. So let's go back to the prior verse, 47. Look at it again. Notice this. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. And like I said, this is not that police show back from the 50s and 60s. This is talking about a weighted net that was thrown into the waters, and its purpose was to just capture any and every fish that might be in its path. So I asked the question. I said, Lord, what is this dragnet here? Because it's got to have a spiritual implication. And what the Lord showed me is the dragnet that's being referred to here that is going through the waters of mankind, and it's gathering and gathering more and more of these fish of every kind. You know what it is? It's the gospel. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a really important point, because when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to us doing our part as the fishers of men and learning to catch these fish, you got to know something. In order to be a successful fisherman, you got to have a tool. You got to have either a fishing rod, you got to have a net, you got to have something. How many of you know if you went out today and went to Lake Oconee to go try to catch some fish and you had no tools and the only thing you were going to be able to do to catch those fish is your two bare hands, how successful you think you're going to be today? I would happen to say that you would not be having fish for dinner tonight. Because why? You've got to have a tool to be able to catch these fish. But how many believers out there are trying to be fishers of men and share the gospel with people and get them into this boat with us, but they're not using the tools that the Lord has given them? They're not going to be successful this way. And I'm here to tell you today that one of the number one tools that we have to be successful at sharing Jesus with people is the gospel itself. Far too many people rely on their own techniques, their own methods, the effort of their flesh, their charisma and personality to try to share Jesus with people, and it doesn't work that way. Listen to me now. The Word does the work. The Word does the work. And all your responsibility is, you don't have to be the best, most eloquent speaker. You just need to know the Word, have it hidden in your heart, and the Holy Ghost will bring it up so you can share it to people in the right place at the right time. And that's another tool that we've been given to be effective in this. It's the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Praise God. So let me show you kind of how this works. It might be that you go to a restaurant today, and you're sitting there, and you just happen to look across the restaurant, and you see a person sitting over in a booth, and they just keep catching your attention. Have you ever had that happen before? That just somebody just keeps catching your attention. And it's not because of natural reasons. It just might be that your heart is being inclined towards them. Don't override that. Know that a lot of times the Holy Spirit who's on the inside of you is trying to use you to be that fisher of men in that moment. So you might have just love go out towards your heart for somebody. Compassion comes up in your heart. And you remember what we see throughout the ministry and life of Jesus? Is that Jesus, what usually preceded his miracles? Him being moved with compassion. And I think the terminology is very important. We got to let the compassion of the Lord on the inside of us move us in whatever direction that we go. So we move with that compassion. We see people that just for whatever reason. And once we move, that's when the Holy Spirit, that's when the Lord begins to give you the ammunition, the lure, the bait to be able to draw them in. Don't wait for the Lord to give you the full sentence. If he gives you a word, speak it by faith. You know, we had tongues and interpretation this morning, and I'm going to tell you how it works a lot of times. It might work differently for some people, but with prophecy or the interpretation of tongues, you need to know something. The full statement of what's going to be made is oftentimes not known by the person given the prophetic utterance. A lot of times you might just get a word like, I am, or you will. And you just get a word, you get two words, you get three words, and guess what your responsibility is? To speak those words out and expect the Lord to give you the rest of it. Oh, that's a petrifying thing sometimes. What if it doesn't come? Well, it's going to require faith. Well, it's going to happen this way when you're evangelizing people. You have to be moved with that compassion. You move towards them. And it might be that, like, say you're at church today and you look across and you see somebody sitting in one of the pews and your heart goes out for them. And because of that love, you just go to them. And then when you go to them, you might only have in your heart just to tell them, the Lord just really put you on my heart today. I just wanted to come and tell you I love you and the Lord loves you too. And he knows what you're going through. He knows that your husband's left you and you're feeling all alone right now and you're wondering what you're going to do, but the Lord wants you to know, I've got you. And then you catch yourself and you're like, did I just say that? And they look at you and their face is a mess of tears. And they're like, how did you know that? And you have to look at him and say, I didn't, but he did. And then the Lord proceeds to give you something else. It might be that you went to this person and the Lord shows you, gives you a word of knowledge of something they're going through. And you know what oftentimes follows a word of knowledge? A word of wisdom. And you know what the word of wisdom might be? The Lord knows what you're going through, but the Lord tells you this, is that you're not to make this turn and you're to go in this direction. He gives you the wisdom to accompany the knowledge. And then on top of that, he might start giving you scriptures you didn't even know you'd read in the Bible before. And you become a preaching machine before those people. And you look at it and you're like, man, I didn't know I knew all that word. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you did. And it touches a person's life. It changes their life. Why? Because you yielded to the Holy Ghost. You stepped out on the end of the branch where the best fruit is. How many of you know this isn't just the responsibility of your pastor? Everybody in here is called to do the things I just expressed to you. And we're not looking for the super dupers to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and see these different miracles and stuff happening. Everybody that is in this church today is called to operate in this to some measure or another. You are called to use the dragnet God has given you. Glory be to God. So this dragnet is a type of the gospel and the Holy Spirit working together, Spirit and the Word agree, to draw all those people unto Himself. And now look at verse 48. Notice what it says, that when this dragnet is cast, what it does. Which when it was full, say when it was full. How many of you know God is really all about the net being full? Some of you are thinking of some other scriptures right now of how the Lord loved to fill some nets through His life and ministry. Let's look at them. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Praise God. Hallelujah. You'll like this part right here. How many of you know we serve a net-breaking, ship-sinking, cup-overflowing, too-much God? I'm not talking about sinking your ship as in wrecking your life. I'm talking about sinking your ship because there's so much provision that the Lord has provided for you. Luke chapter 5, we have an account where the Lord asked Peter and his fellow businessmen, can I use your boat for ministry purposes? He might not have worded it like that, but Peter lets him use his boat, cast out from the water, and the multitudes gather on the beach. How many of you know, I'd like to go to that church, praise God. We're having church on the beach today. And Jesus is preaching from the boat, and when he gets done, he turns to Peter, and notice what he says. Verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, most people read this the wrong way. I don't believe Peter right here was being honorable. I don't believe Peter was saying, well, it didn't work. We've been fishing all night. But you know what? Because you said to do it, Lord. I'll be faithful and good disciple here. No, I believe what Peter was saying was something like this. Lord, we've been fishing all night. We're in the fishing business. You're not. And we need to let you know something, that we're not being successful. We haven't been successful. We're not going to be successful again. But you know what? I'll cast down the net, and it's on you. In other words, so all these people know out here that the reason why we're casting these net down and we're not going to be successful again was because I'm just doing what he told me to do. And you'll see why I believe this to be so by his response after the miracle happened. What did he do? He said, Lord, get away from me, for I'm a sinful man. So Peter agrees to cast. Notice what it says now. He says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net, singular. That's not what the Lord told him to do. The Lord told him to let down your nets, So we're seeing here again what Peter did. Peter was not fully obedient in what the Lord told him to do. And guess what happened? We're going to see that there was a miracle that happened to where his net was filled up, right? What if he'd have thrown all the nets down? They'd all been filled up. I don't think we have to speculate on that, right? I wonder if we've ever done that. I wonder if you and I in here have ever had the Lord tell us to do something and we weren't fully obedient. We were partially obedient and we got provision for it, but we didn't get the provision we could have gotten. You know, the Bible tells us over in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Notice that phrase. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Do you know if you're just obedient, you'll eat of the land? You will. There are so many people out there that tithe because some preacher has scared them into doing it, or they're doing it for some other motives. And guess what? They eat of the land. God provides for them. But it doesn't mean they're going to eat the good of the land. Why? Because what do you have to do? You must be willing and obedient to eat the good of it. In other words, it's not just about doing it. It's about wanting to do it in your heart. Amen. This is one of the ways we receive more of the provision of the Lord. So they cast that net down, and what ends up happening? And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Verse 7. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." See, the Lord's provision. Why did the provision come here for Peter? I believe personally it's because the Lord asked him for his boat, and he used it for his ministry purposes. And because Peter was willing to do it, God blessed him with a reward from it. You know, people don't like to really acknowledge this. God's really a good rewarder. Oh, hallelujah. He is a very good rewarder, and he wants to provide. Now, notice this now. Go to John chapter 21, and notice this. John 21, this is after Jesus' resurrection. In John 21, we have an instance that, you know, Jesus had appeared to his disciples in several different times. Verse 1 begins with, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to him, 'I'm going fishing.'" Now, how many of you know when Peter said that right there, he was not saying, "I'm just going to go out and do some recreational fishing today." No, you know what he's saying? "I'm going back to my old way of life. I'm going back to do the business, the thing I only knew to do. Because what am I supposed to do now that Jesus is in that tomb?" Right? So he ends up saying, "I'm going fishing." And what'd they say? So they said to him, "We are going also." Right? They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's Pastor Trey, in case you didn't realize that. It's you too, praise God. The disciple whom Jesus loved, we know that to be the Apostle John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Let me ask you a question. What was it here that caused John to be able to recognize that this was the Lord Jesus Christ? It was the miracle of the catch of fish. Why would that let him know that this was the Lord? Because while he didn't recognize him in the flesh, he recognized his goodness. Well, this is one of the best ways to know the Lord, is to recognize him by his propensity to fill our nets up and give us abundant provision in our That's how he knew it. And so what did Peter do? He took his clothes off. Glory to God. And he started swimming to the Lord. Seeing Peter's heart there. Praise God. But my point is today, the Lord's heart is for the net to be full. So when it comes to this parable of the dragnet that we're looking at today, people are no different. He wants your bank accounts full. He wants your relationships full. He wants everything in your life prospering. But you know what he really ultimately wants? He wants his kingdom being fully rich. He wants his net full of people, of all those fish. And listen, we see what happens in this parable, don't we? Is that when it was full, that's when they drew it to the shore and began to separate the good from the bad. Right? Do you see here the heart and nature of God? Is that the judgment does not come until he gets as many as he can possibly get. How good is that? You know, too many believers have an escapist mentality. Oh, Lord, please come and deliver us from this wicked and perverse generation, because the world is getting so bad, and Lord, we need to get out of here before things get any worse. That's a lot of Christians' mentality, and that is not God's mentality. God's mentality is, I am stretching this thing out as long as I can, because why? I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance and get in this here dragnet. So while it seems like, Lord, why are you putting up with this for so long? Well, it's the same reason he's put up with you for so long. Oh, we love you, Pastor Trey. Thank you for telling us just like it is. How many of you are thankful that God's put up with a whole bunch of your stink? You remember what we talked about last week? You're that beautiful child, and they hid the child away, Moses' parents. And I talked about you might have poop in your diapers, spit up on your chin. But the Lord sees you as beautiful. The Lord sees them as beautiful too. He sees them as worth the time. He sees them as being worth prolonging. Because God doesn't want to judge. There is a judgment coming, contrary to popular belief. There is a judgment, and whether you want to call it the great white throne judgment or the judgment seat of Christ, and whatever your theological view is, I don't even like to get into all that stuff with people. The bottom line is, there is a judgment coming to where the good will be separated from the bad. Jesus told another parable saying that the sheep will be separated from the goats. And these things aren't preached enough, but I'm here to tell you, our heart should be so inclined towards that that there's nothing that will keep us from sharing this gospel and casting this net out in whatever arena we're in. Our family needs to hear it. People in the restaurant and the marketplace need to hear it. Everywhere you go, I'll tell you, if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and not just be wrapped up in your own world, when you go somewhere, the Lord will use you miraculously where you go. If you'll just be inclined to listen to him and yield to that fisherman on the inside of you. And how many of you know the Holy Ghost is an awesome fisherman? You know, I'm not a good fisherman. I used to say all the time that if there is the worst person at catching fish, it was probably me. Until I started going fishing with Larry King, who was a professional fisherman. And he'd take Levi and out there to Lake Oconee, and he had all the tools. These little radar sonar things where he could even see the fish up under the boat. And he would spend all that time fixing our messes that we were making with the rods and reels and help us get that. And we'd catch fish after fish after fish. You know why? Because we had the expert fisherman in the boat with us. I'm here to tell you today, you got the expert fisherman in the boat on the inside of you. Jesus is in our boat. And he'll help you if you'll let the Holy Ghost on the inside of you share his love, his light with other people. So the point of this whole parable is, the dragnet is going throughout the waters of mankind right now. The gospel, the Holy Spirit. And hopefully the church is cooperating with them. And it's gathering all, but there's a time coming to where we're all going to get drawn to the shore. And that's where the judgment will come. I'm telling you, as one of our elders at our church, Don and I in the back, likes to say all the time, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because we're closer than anybody has ever been. But it's an exciting time because we're the good. We're just trying to make more good vessels with us. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you, Jesus. So, if your family or friends ask you how church was today, you just tell them you experienced a miracle today. Pastor Trey preached for 30 minutes. Hallelujah. I believe in miracles. Glory to God. He's faithful. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you are truly a God that is long-suffering, patient and kind, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to know the truth of this glorious gospel. And Lord, my prayer is for all of us here today that you'd teach us to be better fishermen, that we'd learn to use the tools that you've put in our boat, that you'd show us those people, that you'd help us to identify the hurting, the lost, help us to operate more in gifts of the Holy Ghost so that we can be those witnesses that touches people and changes lives. You've called us to be a church that's not just coming here so that we'd get fed, but that we'd go out and be those fishermen. And like I've heard you say before, Lord, I saw a Christian t-shirt that said this: we're fisher of men. We catch them, God cleans them. Hallelujah. It's not our job to catch. It's our job to go out and be obedient to the Holy Spirit, but it's not our job to clean them. Lord, you're cleaning us up. You're doing the work in our lives. We love you. We bless you. We thank you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. If our prayer ministers will come forward, if anybody would like prayer, this is a great opportunity for you to come to the shore today. Get in this here net with us and enjoy the life that God has for you. He wants your net full in abundance. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. We'll see you next time.